Attention Austin guitar players and bass players. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you, gang. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery, and you can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I've been talking about Jason for years. Why is that? Because I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years. Not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and the fastest service in town. Again, find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Not only is he doing an amazing job repairing and setting up guitars, he is now building guitars. That's right. He built me an SG Junior, which I have, and it sounds amazing. It feels great. It's the very first SG Junior he ever built. I've got a J. Scott Luthery SG Junior. You can go see him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Get a guitar built. Get your guitars fixed. Get them set up. It's time, man. They've been hanging on the wall all through COVID. Now it's time to get them out, get them fixed, and get out there and play. J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Let's get down. Hey, gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you, my friend, want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available on the Podbean app. If you follow us on the Podbean app, we have every single show ever released on that platform. You'll also get all of your favorite shows like Fresh Air, WTF with Mark Maron, ID10T, the Michelle Obama podcast. All podcasts available there, and you can also access over 1,000 How Did I Get Here episodes. So download the Podbean app from your app store and start listening today. Let's get down.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Johnny.
When we talk. All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys are all having a good week. Working through the week, it's only Wednesday. You had the Halloween thing. I want to thank everyone for the people got really into that interview that I did with Marcia Pally, who wrote that book about Leonard Cohen. Fantastic conversation. People were blown away. I think she sold some books. You should check it out. If you didn't hear it, it's the last episode before this one. Marcia Pally, she wrote From This Broken Hill, I Sing to You. It's this book about Leonard Cohen and his struggles with faith, with his religion, obviously, politics, women, relationships, the whole thing. Pretty amazing. It made me listen to Leonard Cohen in a completely different way. Great conversation, Marcia Pally. Go back there and check it out. But I do want to thank you for the engagement, which leads me to, I want to tell you guys that How Did I Get Here finally has its own Instagram account. Yeah, that's right. How Did I Get Here _official. Go over and follow us now. I urge you to go through it a little bit. There's not a lot of stuff up there yet. I'll be adding a lot of stuff as we go. But we got our own Instagram account. I'm not going to be posting it on the @JohnnyGowdy stuff. I'm going to be posting it on the Instagram. So please go over there, give us a follow, let us know how we're doing, tell us you're listening to the show, and let us know if you know how much you like the show, or if you don't like the show. I don't care. Fucking comment on it. Say some stuff. There's going to be some changes over the next couple months here at How Did I Get Here, and we're going to be starting the new year with a bit of a new fresh start. Not totally different, but we're reaching out, man. We're talking to people like Marcia Pally. I talked to this guy, Justin Corsby, who directed this movie, Hard Luck Love Song, that was just in theaters. It's about to come out on VOD, video on demand, wherever it is you watch that video on demand stuff. That's coming out next week. Great conversations with a lot of different kinds of people. Not just music people, but still music people. You'll still hear from your favorite Austin artists, but it's not going to be every Tom, Dick, and Harry playing all the time everywhere. All right? Today, I don't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the show. Oh, basically... Sorry. Go follow us at our new Instagram account. How Did I Get Here _official. How Did I Get Here _official. Go do that now. Also, you know, whatever format you listen to us on, if you listen to us on Spotify, be sure you follow us. Give us a like every now and then if you like a show. That helps us out. We're trying to get some new advertisers, trying to take a step up to a new level of podcasting, a new level for 2022. Jesus, I just threw my jewel across the room with my excitement. Yeah, give us a follow wherever it is. Leave us a comment on the iTunes or in the in the Apple Podcast comments, and in the Podbean. If you use the Podbean app, you can access every episode of How Did I Get Here. You can also follow and access all of your other favorite shows. You can download them to listen to if you're flying on a plane, or you can just stream them. Don't cloud up that phone. That's the Podbean app. All right. That's enough of doing that. Go to our How Did I Get Here Facebook page, How Did I Get Here _ official. Follow us. Give us some likes. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know how you like today's show. This is another in-person show. I'm glad stuff is coming back to in-person. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I have Greg Rhodes and Alex Marrero from the band The Avocados. They have a brand new album coming out called Ensalada on November 12th. They're celebrating with a release show Saturday, November 13th at 3 p.m., an afternoon release show at Far Out Lounge here in Austin. But they are playing this Sunday here in Austin at Black Vinyl, the record store, at 2 p.m. Great record store, Black Vinyl. Great record store. I went to an in-store the other day a couple weeks ago by Go Fever. It was fucking great. Great vibe, great hang. It feels like old Austin. If you like old Austin, that's what it feels like. I have a great conversation with this band. If you don't know this band, this is made up of Greg Rhodes plays guitar, but he's normally the bass player for Golden Dawn Orchestra and Mudphonic. Alex Marrero plays drums in this band, but he sings with Brownout and Brown Sabbath, plays drums with Kerry Rodriguez and a shitload of other bands. Also like Sly Curtis, the band that plays the last Tuesday of every month and plays the music of Sly and the Family Stone and Curtis Mayfield. Also, Ben Prentice plays bass from Roxy Rocha. John Branch plays organ and guitar. He plays with Hard Proof, Golden Dawn Orchestra, and was in Spanish Gold, one of my favorite bands. You can find them at theavocadosmusic.com. Now, they have taken Afrobeat, psych music, Latin music, punk music, and rock music, and everything that they know, and then put it through a surf music. So it's instrumental surf music, but it's informed by all of these other styles of music, which makes it very unique, right? Surf music is a certain style of music. You have parameters you have to stay within, but you find your own voice in there. You know what I mean? Like when you're doing jazz songs, you're doing standards. Sure, you're doing that song, but you jazz it up and you make it your own in these ways. And that's what the Avocados have done with this style of music. This album, Ensalada, is absolutely fantastic. They recorded it over at Bud's, that recording studio on First Street, which just seems really cool. Cesar Chavez, if you know what I'm saying. The album's on Found Object Records this weekend, Sunday, November 7th, 2 p.m., Black Vinyl. My dear friend Alex Marrero, it's great catching up with him. Oh, God, my dog, Rosie, freaked on him and wouldn't stop licking him the whole show. So you'll hear that. I even have to kind of pause the thing and go give her a bone. Anyway, great conversation with Greg Rose and Alex Marrero from The Avocados, their new album, Ensalada, out November 12th. You can find them at theavocadosmusic.com on Found Object Records, Ensalada. See them at the Far Out Lounge Saturday, November 13th at 3 p.m. for their album release party, or this Sunday, November 7th at 2 p.m. at Black Vinyl, very cool record store here in Austin. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Greg Rhodes and my dear friend Alex Marrero from The Avocados. Let's get down. Do you call what you do surf rock? Is that the...
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
It's definitely...
He likes to think so, but it's not.
I mean, it's a...
It totally is.
Yeah. It was born out of surf rock.
Yeah.
You know. And it's kind of kept to the classic form, inspiration out of instrumental surf rock.
Do you play the Jazzmaster, or Jaguar, or Mustang?
Yes. Offset, a Jazzmaster, Jaguar, Mose Wright is my been my favorite, but yeah.
And Ben's got a Moss Red bass as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you play guitar and keyboards, or someone else?
Just guitar.
John did.
Right. Okay. John Branch is playing keyboard with us. So he's actually an extraordinary guitar player, and I've had most of my years as a bass player, and this project kind of just spawned out of having fun playing guitar, and it's kind of grown from that.
How do you guys write the stuff together?
Some of the stuff, most of it, you know.
Greg writes most of it.
Yeah. But, you know, most of it started as learning stuff, like the Shantae's Pipeline record.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of where listening to that record with a few friends, and we're like, hey, we should just learn this stuff and start a band called The Avocados. And that's just came, you know, that's how it happened. Just sitting around, I was listening to that, and that's, anyway. So we learned a bunch of that stuff, learned a bunch of, you know, of course, some Ventures.
Yeah.
Some Takeshi Tarachi, he's a really cool Japanese surf rock guy.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, it started with just learning a lot of material. And then from that, you know, once you get all these formulas, it's pretty simple stuff to kind of, you know, just piece together originals.
Yeah.
You know, you get kind of the forms, and then you just come up with your own ideas, melodies and riffs, and that's kind of...
And you kind of have these parameters with, like, it's a blues record or something. You know, you got to sort of deliver this sort of thing, and you know your lane.
Yeah, you got to drench it with some spring reverb and, you know, make it drippy and all that.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like you make a punk rock record or something like that?
Yeah.
That phrase has been coming up a lot musically in my life lately, how I was just thinking about it. Like, I never stayed in my lane. And I'm like, I'm at a point where I was like, I need to find things where I can stay in a lane.
Yeah.
So.
What are those things, Alex?
Oh, we're not going to talk about those. But The Avocados is definitely one of those. And it's part of what's so fun. It's like, plus as a drummer, this kind of music is just super rewarding. It's so fun. It's very energetic. There's a lot of, you know, there's some Latin roots to it, you know. So I'd never really played surf until I started subbing for their original drummer.
Right.
And that turned into subbing, and suddenly I'm a guy.
Now you're the drummer. You are the guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're fucking great on there, man.
Oh, thanks.
You really are.
Thank you.
Like, some of those Wipeout kind of fills you do, it's killer.
Yeah.
How old were you when you learned that drum song? Or that song on drums, drum song?
You know, I mean, I started really late on drums. I didn't really start playing drums until I was like 22, 23.
Okay.
So it was probably one of the first little row things that I learned. It's like, oh, there's a floor tom.
Yeah.
Oh, or snare. Yeah, here are these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a guy from The Ventures on the show a few years ago.
Which guy? You remember?
A young guy.
Oh, okay.
Like a nod.
One of the newer band guys. Yeah.
But they keep that thing going. And the thing is with that style of music, it's not like Celine Dion, where you got to have Celine Dion at the thing, or a hologram or something.
Yeah.
It's
She's
like
got a surf album. It's great.
Well, and I think, you know, Noki Edwards, who is the guy that really transformed The Ventures into the really guitar-driven surf rock, he was with the band forever.
Right.
You know, so really driving it. And then they would have whoever, you know, as far as their bass, drums, rhythm guitar, and that kind of stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just realized, like, oh, you guys are both in Golden Dawn Orchestra together.
Yeah,
we've been, you know, we started playing, we, you know, pretty much all the same guys, me and Alex, John Branch, and also Topaz. We had a group called Mudphonic. We still play once a year or something like that. But that's, you know, what, 2007, mid-2000s. So we've been doing this for over a decade. So, and I've always loved playing with Alex, especially, you know, just being as a bass player. So when you're playing with a drummer and you spend over a decade playing with a drummer, you guys are, you know, just have each other down is what you all are doing. And so it's interesting doing that now on guitar and just, you know, always have
there's a shorthand, as you know, there's a shorthand. And it was funny how it just didn't translate to you playing guitar and me on drums at all. Totally did. I love playing with Greg, and even he doesn't consider himself a guitar player because he's played bass for so long, but he's a great songwriter. Comes up with great melodies, and it's just, you know, it's rude to refer to someone not in the third person or whatever it is. you're such a, you know, kind of into gear, and you're so into that, you really hone in your tones, and this is a perfect little outlet for it. That's what, it's fun playing if you want it.
And I'm not an aficionado on that stuff, but it is fucking authentic, and it also has like a breath of, you know, it has different stuff going on in it.
Sure.
Within the surf, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're interpreting it.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, I'd never played surf, so I'm bringing... And if you listen to the first Avocados record, it just seems a little even more traditional to me.
Right, right.
This one, I kind of feel like I'm bringing a bit of a punk edge to it.
Right.
Kind of raw thing. And the way that we recorded it, also just super raw.
Yeah, there's a lot everybody more variation.
Everybody in the same room, straight to tape. Just 3 days, just crank it out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing is, so you guys recorded this live, which it should be, right?
Sure.
Like, it's, again, like a blues album. Like, you wouldn't want a piecemeal blues album.
You don't need to overdub or any of that. There's not really necessity for that.
And you recorded it to tape? They've got a tape machine over there?
Oh, yeah.
At Buds?
Yeah, what do they got, 24-track?
I don't remember.
Oh, it's 2-inch tape, yeah.
2-inch, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shit.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what... You guys must have prepared for a while for it, right?
That's, like in a pre-production sort of way. My part aspect of the band comes in. Like, I'm a preparer, and I bug people about things. So I really wanted to, like, let's get some pre-production, and we hashed out the songs, and I have ideas about arrangements, and I'm always throwing stupid, silly joke ideas to throw into songs and changing the names of songs.
Sound names,
And just arrangements. So we hashed it out at the rehearsal place, and it was super, I really enjoyed those pre-production sessions. Because we were just really, okay, this section doesn't work here, let's move this, this should be faster. You know, I really enjoyed the process.
Yeah, because the songs definitely weren't, you know, when I kind of came up with melodies and some ideas of arrangements, they weren't etched in, there was a lot of room to kind of, you know, come together and have more input. You know, there needed to be more input. So when we got together for pre-production.
Yeah, some were kind of more sketches. Yeah, like, okay, we're doing, John has just a lot of great.
A lot of rough drafts.
A lot of great feedback, you know.
Yeah, like I didn't have necessarily organ parts, so John was able to just come up with his stuff. Same, and even bass lines. You know, Ben Prentice, who has been in the band since we started, you know, he came up with some amazing bass lines. Mm-hmm. Very musical bass player. So,
what was that they used, like a Farfisa or something on that? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Just combo organ. I mean, there's lots of different brands, but they all, you know, whether it's Ace Tone or Ream or whatever, but
Vox
combo organ. Yeah. Right. And they all kind of do similar reed kind of sound and whatnot.
So. But that's right. Yeah, I think it is a Farfisa that he's used and he's using currently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those things are cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really
good. It's sound, that 60s sound, like instant.
Yeah. Right. Did you use a different drum set than you're normally used to using, or like a different snare?
Yeah,
did you
actually, find something? I just kind of, I mean, I have vintage kits. I use 60s era stuff. And so when I went into Buds, Sam is also a drummer. And he's got a kit there. It's like a Tama from like the early 80s. But it was totally dialed in. And why am I going to mess
with
it?
Good.
Right,
it
right.
sounded great. And it had a raw thing to it.
Right.
So I just brought my snare, my cymbals, and just, you know, like, let's do this. Let's not be super pristine about it. It's surf rock. Let's have fun. Let's just rock it out.
Yeah. And you did it in what? You recorded it in 3 days, you said?
About 3 days.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, well, I think it was
three
just
sessions, really. Right. A couple hours each day.
Really?
Yeah, because we came in prepared. We're just like, okay, let's... We do maybe 3 or 4 takes.
I think we just did 2 days of tracking and then 1 day of mixing.
Yeah.
That's great.
So everything was tracked. We just kind of...
Who was the engineer on it?
Sam Patlove.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is Found Object Records? Is that... That's your label?
No.
No. That's the label that...
Yeah, yeah, for the Avocados.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I thought you were asking if it was Greg's label.
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's our label for the Avocados. They've been great.
Who?
They found us, it's been probably 7-8 years when it was for our first album, and they were really into it and really supportive, essentially for us to, you know, bring them the recordings, and they... Press vinyl for us, distribute vinyl for us. Yeah, which is incredible, because you know vinyl production can be really hard especially for artists that you know want to record a record, but then to come up with funds to press vinyl, it's been amazing having them.
And they're repressing along with the new record. They're reissuing the first avocados.
Awesome.
Right, which will be available, you know, at the album release the, and all that stuff.
Awesome. You guys are doing your record release at Far Out Lounge.
Far Out Lounge. Yeah.
On the 13th.
November 13th, yes. Daytime party.
Daytime. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It'll be fun. And it's outside, you know.
Yeah.
Weather, it won't be hot, and I don't think it'll be cold, so it'll just be cool.
Yeah. I'll be out of town that day, but I saw that you're playing Black Vinyl.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
On the 7th. That's Sunday. Right. Yeah. That place is awesome. But you're playing outside.
Right.
In that. Yeah. I just went to a thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard great, you know, I haven't yet to check it out, but I heard from somebody else who, you know, went to see a in-store there. It was just a great experience.
Oh, it was great.
They have it dialed in.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
My girlfriend lives around the corner from there.
Oh,
and
nice.
So maybe we'll even take Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
So you can watch you guys play. So you guys have other shows coming up. Are you going to, like, is there any plans to, like, go out on the road a bit, or where are you guys at with that right now?
We'd love to put together, you know, back in the day, we've done a couple little runs to New Orleans and Corpus, but it's been a long time.
So yeah.
I'd love to put together, whether just even a little four-day regional thing, you know, around whatever, Houston, Dallas, but... So hopefully that'll be in the works. But, and, you know, obviously the last year putting together runs has been, or tours.
Impossible.
Whether short or long. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of starting to open back up, and hopefully we'll be able to build on
what
that.
What did you do during the bit? My dog's like like seducing Alex Marrero on our show.
Yeah, sure.
I love him.
She does. What did you do during the pandemic, Greg? Like, what was your, like, what happened? Like, you guys, let's go back to like March of 2020.
Yeah,
say,
well,
you guys,
you know, it
Rosie
was South by, and just like every South by, especially with Golden Dawn, we're probably have whatever 7 shows lined up for that week, and we had played a show Thursday night at the Vegas Hotel or Hotel Vegas, and after that night is when everything was canceled. So it was like, you know, the pre-Thursday of South by.
Right. Stop, Rosie. Yeah.
And there was also some tours coming up. There was going to be a South America trip and all this kind of stuff that just all went away. So the first couple months, I think, was the weirdest, and it's probably for everybody, where it was like the whole lockdown and everything was just in, you know, weird dystopian thing. But,
sorry, I'm trying to reprimand her. Rosie.
Off, Rosie.
Rosie,
go on. Yeah.
Rosie, come on. Oh. Yeah, you can tell her off.
Enough. Go on.
Off. Go.
Go on.
Go.
Go on.
Hang on a second.
Come here. But Dad, I'm in love.
Hey.
I found my man.
Unless you want to go in your apartment again.
Your apartment.
Oh, yeah. Get up in that love sauce.
But you got to eat it out here. All right. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. It's I was trying to think about that, and after that, first couple months, like, I don't even remember what it was like for like 9 months or something, you know. It's just this weird time, and, you know, fortunately I still was able to work, besides not having gigs, but, you know, I do some work over at Austin Vintage Guitars.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah And it's, you know, people were definitely buying guitars. It was a good time for that. Yeah. And then, you know, gigs would still trickle around with like some Golden Dawn gigs, some Avocado gigs, a couple other, you know, me and Alex also play with like John Branch. He's got his own thing. They pop up occasionally, sporadically. And then, you know, this past year started definitely pick up a lot more. So
that's great. Yeah. But you held it together. You didn't freak out.
I mean, it's whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just obviously an unprecedented thing for everybody. So I guess everyone had their own kind of first experience with that. Whatever it was. It was something, I don't know how dramatic it was necessarily for me, but it was not normal.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And it was like compiled stuff. It was like this weird political thing, then also this pandemic, then everyone lost their jobs that we work with and know, like that.
Yeah.
And then there was this giant like racial awakening, which further divided people and brought like this weird war thing, and then everything froze at one point. Literally.
Yeah.
It was so weird. It was like
a convergence of a lot of different things.
So it really was.
I was grateful that this podcast and Zoom and
sure.
Like I was putting out 5 shows a week at one point because I was like, what the fuck else am I going to do?
Let's talk.
Yeah, let's talk.
It's a great time to do that because I'm sure plenty of people had just things they needed to talk about, especially, you
with
know.
With isolation.
Yeah,
right?
When you live alone too. And you're,
oh God, yeah, that was weird.
You know, yeah. I mean, if you're not in like a relationship or whatever it is, you're just, you know, isolated a lot. So I'm sure that takes a toll too. Yeah. Man.
What about you, Alex? You did some stuff.
You know, it's just, it was, of course it was weird. I just kind of pivoted and focused on getting my home studio more up to the level, you know. And
so that you could do recording.
So that I could do more recordings. I got my, you know, it's stuff that I, it's one of those things. You get so busy. You're playing with, you know, 600 bands. You're on the road. You're doing this, do this. It's like, yeah, I need to focus on the studio thing and do this more. And then suddenly... Yeah. It was just, I was just confronted with the fact that I had to do it because what else was I going to do?
Right.
Like, so I did that, had some, you know, it's great. I mean, all in all, as far as that's concerned, it was something that I'd been putting off that needed to happen that, and I started recording stuff for people, set people asking me for percussion tracks, for vocal tracks, for drum tracks.
Yeah.
I really started, you know, doubling down on my voiceover stuff. So I feel really blessed that I was able to refocus my energy on something that was that needed to happen anyway. So I feel very lucky. I mean, it was still weird as fuck and complications and no money and everything that we all dealt with. But all in all, I was able to repivot and reposition myself in a positive way.
Yeah. So. You know, I have a grandma. She was 90. She's still alive, but last year she was 97. She just turned 98 this year. But she was like freaking out. She was like, "I'm not going to spend like my last day sitting in my living room." Like, so she got a beach house on the beach in Galveston for the month of December, and like called all the cousins and was like, "You guys, anyone wants to move in here?" And some of us moved in for a little while, but me and my cousin Emily like moved in the whole time. Like we lived out on the beach for a month,
fantastic.
And that was. Yeah, and so I was looking at this thing like, oh yeah, I lost all this work and all this stuff. But there's never a time where I'd spend every day for a month with my grandma. Yeah. That's killer. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And just the pause. Like I found the pause to be like a real okay, now I have to really think about how do I want to position my life?
Yeah.
Like cuz it's just so go, 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 go. Now everything's been yanked away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What is my life all about? What is really important? Yeah. Is all that hustle that I've been doing really necessary for this, or for this? Or do I need to do a little bit of this and be more selective for this? Like, it's a real reevaluation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I found it to be anyway.
Yeah. I also noticed a lot of people came out of it. Like, some people were, like, doubling down. Like, I'm going to play more shows now. I'm going to fucking record records all the time. Totally. I'm going to do all this stuff. And then some people are like, I don't have to go on tour all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's driving me nuts. Bob Schneider was one of those guys that was like, he came out of it and he was like, why am I doing all this? Like, why am I getting in a bus and leaving for 3 weeks when I don't really have to? I could fly out to 2 shows.
I'm like, why am I going to get in a van? Fuck that. Yeah, I don't go on the road right now. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I love playing. But again, it's that I'm also a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know, like what's really going to.
I should have been out on the road right now.
Really?
With who?
With Golden Dawn.
Oh, with Golden Dawn.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Bass player for me.
That's right.
Why was that? You just didn't want
to
go on the road.
Part of it was work.
Yeah.
And, you know, pretty much just couldn't get time off.
Yeah.
Limited, you know, we have just limited people working right now, and it's kind of crucial time. I had to actually go to a guitar show this past weekend to buy guitars. It's like a market for
that sounds
guitars.
Fun.
That's a fun job.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it is, but your third time doing it, you know, it's, I mean, it is because you see a lot of incredible gear, super rare vintage stuff and all.
Especially with how much you're into it.
Yeah, it is. So, but it could be overwhelming, you know, especially when you're driving a van loaded with, you know, when you, 'cause you come back with all this inventory and you're driving this janky van from Dallas to Austin with probably $250,000 worth of gear in it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, she's like, oh yeah, yeah, it can, yeah. But it's also exciting to be able to do that as well.
Do you know Kyle Crusham?
Yeah.
Yeah, he spends a lot of time over there.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, every once in a while, but yeah, because he's super into the gear. Super sweet guy, too, yeah.
Yeah. We were in Skyrocket together for a long time, and he just finally bid adieu to the band, which was sad.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's just, I mean, we've been doing it for 20 years. It's like, how long are we going to do this?
Yeah.
He did say, how many times am I going to play Dancing Queen? That's what he said to me.
Awesome.
John Branch.
Sure.
How long has he been playing? As long as you have in the band?
I think, came in a little before.
He came in a little before because our original organ player had moved to the East Coast, like up to, Massachusetts, I believe. Anyway, and... So Branch was down to play some organ, which is great.
Because at that point, he was just still kind of starting to branch out.
To play,
Because he's a just phenomenal guitar player.
Right.
I mean, he's just a beast. And he's been playing keys more because he played with Hardproof, and he was playing...
Right.
I don't know if he played keys
Because he had just kind of gotten a Wurlitzer, and he was doing some stuff with
The convergence was right.
But he's great.
Yeah.
I mean, this record features probably more organ solos than guitar, like a lot of... Because it just sounds so good. And that was something that definitely, you know, helped move the band with a lot more organ-driven stuff when Branch was able to do that. I mean, he still has a couple of times in the band where he's able to just really slay it up on guitar.
He's got a couple of feature guitar moments.
Yeah, he actually wrote one of the tunes on the record, too.
Oh, really?
He's playing guitar. So, yeah, it's been a great addition. You know, and we just, obviously, we compadres for over a decade now. And not just friends, but also musical friends, you know, been playing in collaborations for that long. So it's just... Yeah, it's fun to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff, yeah.
I got to do a show in 2020 with Rob Kidd. We played with Jay Milano.
Uh-huh.
And, man, that guy's great.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing, you know, obviously with Golden Dawn. Yeah, me and I got a text from him the other night that he misses me on the road. Yeah, I love playing with Robbie. He's a banger. And, you know, it's just as a bass player, for me at least, in my experience as a bass player, like, I've only ever been as good as a drummer I'm playing with.
Exactly.
You know, and
some say that about the whole band.
Oh, yeah.
Like the band's only as good as the drummer.
Yeah, it's a famous saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just a bass, a drummer will make me, sometimes, you know, I can feel like I play better if it's a drummer that just has this pocket that I'm really locking in with.
Right.
And Robbie's got that kind of deal. And, you know, that's why with Alex, it's been that, with Mudphonic, we had that going on. And,
Robbie's done a couple of Avocados gigs too. He's subbed a couple of times.
Seems like he would.
Yeah.
Can I ask you some nerd guitar questions about the surf thing? Okay, I did in the 90s, I did these shows opening for Dick Dale.
Oh, yeah.
And I played his guitar backstage one night.
Yeah.
Super awesome. He called me a pussy. It was amazing.
Awesome.
But he was being funny.
Did he use like 13s?
Super thick. Yeah. I don't think they were even 13s. I think they were more than 30. I think it was like 15s. It's like, so I picked up his guitar. I was like, can I play it? And he's like, oh yeah. So
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's like, told me what they were. And he's like, what do you use? And I was like, 11s. No, and he's like, pussy.
Yeah.
Is that part of the sound? Is thick guitar strings?
Well, yeah. I mean, I play 11s, you know. But, I mean, I can't do 10s or 9s. Because 11s, to me, feel light. But I also have bass player fingers. And
for
a while, I also was playing flat wounds. You know, just with the double picking kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Those flats, you get kind of less resistance. But now I'm... Yeah, I just play... I got to play like a pure nickel string and at least 11. But I need a heavier gauge on the bottom string. You know, like at least like a 49 or 50.
Okay.
So you mix and match?
Well, no, there's certain sets that have a little heavier. But that's, I mean, I guess you don't have to. I think it is common though, because, you know, it's a lot of fast picking.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have enough tension on your strings, like if they're too bendy and they're going to flap too much.
Right.
then it's going to cause more resistance. You're not going to be able to get... That's why Dick Dale, you know, is the king of that double picking, you know, things like Miserlou and the Victor and those tunes that are just digga 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 digga. I mean, so fast because of that string has no bounce back to it.
Right, right.
You know, so he's able to kind of pick like that.
And it was his thing, right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
He's an architect.
He is a king. I mean, he's a king, man. He's absolutely. And the fact that he's still doing it. You know?
Well, I thought he passed away.
I thought he passed away,
I think, in 2020. But he did it till the end.
Yeah, that's
right. Up until then, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I saw him at the Red-Eyed Fly. Out in that, you know.
That guy Heath that was leaving here, he was the owner of Red-Eyed Fly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good place,
I saw Blue Cheer there.
No shit?
Yeah, man. For a 420, like, High Times magazine party. It was like It was like a South By in the last days of Austin 1.0, you know, like, or of South By before it really went to insanity. Yeah, and it was this like High Times magazine party, and it was still, what's his name, Dickie Bettis or something like that, bass player, singer of Blue Cheer. But I mean, they were up there, played an hour and a half, and they just, that was probably one of the coolest, because I was super into that band, especially at that time. You know, I was really into this.
But that's an old band, right?
Stoner rock phase. Yeah. But I was just, you know, at that time, I was going through this big stoner rock phase.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of stuff I was writing, and I put together kind of this short-lived stoner rock band.
What were they called?
Spellcaster.
Okay.
And then, you know, Topaz and I started this psychedelic kind of rock band called Hellfire Social that, you know, so it was just, I was kind of into that whole.
Was it like Fu Manchu? Remember those guys?
Yeah, in a way, but a little more like, you know, like the late 60s, like Cream, and just really, I don't know, heavy guitar riff kind of stuff into it. Yeah.
Okay, so you got those strings on, say, Jazzmaster, mm-hmm. or what was the other?
Mose Ray.
Yeah. And then what kind of, just like a Fender amp?
Yeah.
And Spring Reverb?
Well, I have that's the key is I have an old 63, you know, like a brown
spring.
Face, an outboard tank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have pedals when I'm lazy, but there's nothing like the outboard tank. It just, and sometimes when you're on platform stages, it can be tough. You have to find a way. That's why, you know, Dick Dale, he would hang his over the rafter, because if those things are like sitting on the stage, all the vibrations will shoot off the spring. So you keep getting that.
Oh, right.
Kind of
Yeah.
So he would suspend his. So it depends on the stage, you know, when I'm able to use. That's why at least I have, it's, you know, a sellout pedal to go back to if my tank is completely compromised. But yeah, that's, you know, Spring Reverb. And I have a Magnetone amp I've really been loving right now. And then, you know, you have to have a couple fuzz pedals for that kind of garage
fuzz tones. Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of pretty much it. For the most part, it's pretty.
There is a garaginess to the sounds of the instruments.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you, even when you listen to a lot of the kind of, you know, garage rock stuff of the later 60s or whatever, like if those were instrumental based stuff, a lot of those have those kind of go-go beat grooves to them with kind of these melodies that could just be put into an instrumental surf rock tune.
Right.
And it's, you know, the California connection too, right?
I mean,
all those, the blending of cultures going on there, and in the 60s, people literally with surf bands in their garages, then they go surf, you know?
Yeah.
It's all part of that culture, right?
Yeah. It's kind of weird to be in a landlocked community
without
that culture happening. Yeah. But
Yeah, but there's a few good surf rock bands in Austin, you know, that, it's weird. There was this thing, I don't know if it's still going on, but, you know, Nomad Bar.
I think so.
It's like pretty hole in the wall over like off Cameron and 51st area. But they would do this like second or surf Saturdays. It was like the second Saturday of the month. They do a surf rock night there. Some kind of old school dudes and younger guys, whatever. But didn't realize.
Well, I found that I really enjoy that we've been talking about it lately is just how kind of universal surf music is.
Yeah.
Because you see these shows and everybody can kind of show up and relate to it and have fun with it, whether it's little kids or older people who lived in California. Right. We get a lot of that, like, oh yeah, I grew up with this, or just anybody just walking off the street. Like, a lot of times we play a residency at the Hotel San Jose every summer, every Tuesday, right?
Yeah,
we've been doing that forever.
That's awesome.
And it's funny because you see, I'm playing drums and I'm looking and I see people just walking off the street, just running over, like, hey, what's going on? And people in mass, and it's just such a every race, every creed, every inclination.
Yeah, every demographic.
I love that. It's such inclusive music.
Yeah.
It's
so,
super accessible.
Yeah.
Is what it, I think it's just familiar. Yeah. Cause we've, you know, played like the outdoor things where you would get tourists, also played like, you know, like Hotel Vegas or these kind of hipper clubs where it's like, you know, more of a younger demographic. It's kind of something that could plug anywhere.
I like the wide scope.
Yeah. I think that's really awesome. It's interesting too. Cause now I've noticed over at least like the last decade, like there's no real walls in music anymore. Like there's people, like young people hear, like everything. They just hear good songs. Like, oh, I like that song. Yeah, I like AC/DC and I like Hall & Oates. I can't go for that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's also the nature of how people consume music now, right? Like they're not having to buy albums or buy anything, but
right.
It's just songs that come up. Right?
Right.
On their Spotify or whatever it is.
Right.
It's like, it could be anything. Right?
Right.
There's a beauty to that in the theory of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's like good and bad to everything of all this stuff.
Absolutely.
It's pretty weird.
You're right.
How do you deal with social media? Are you like okay with that as a thing? Because it's really annoying. I know you got off of it during the pandemic.
I get off of it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't. It's just, it bothers me.
I don't really. I mean, I'm not on Instagram. I have an Instagram. I just guess I haven't been on there, or I don't have it on my phone anymore.
Right.
I'll get off Facebook for a while, especially if I don't have, because it's a tool to promote shows.
Right.
I don't do anything personal in there. Mm-hmm. I don't share my personal life, really. It's all, and I've always been very straightforward about it. It's like, this is a tool. This is what I use it for.
Right.
You know, and people ask me, tell me when you're playing, and, you know, but increasingly I find so many things that are negative with it that I just walk away from it.
Like what things?
We don't need to hear everybody's opinion
on
every single subject 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's that simple.
It's been a long time since I've
There's so much contention in the comments, and just everybody's just so on edge, and like everybody's got the real answer. It's like, you know what? We don't need to talk about everything.
Right.
Can we just talk like regular people outside of this format?
Yeah.
Realize that there's things that we completely disagree with that will never change. And that doesn't mean we can't get along as human beings.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking for those, you know, like in this new counterculture, ideology of calling out stuff to get these, like, whatever, whether it's like hero points or, you know, like calling out something that they see is somebody's a victim and they're calling it out and they're going to get that praise for being able to recognize that. And, you know, whatever it is, that's a society, you know, we're in that has been cultivated by social media itself.
There have been some good things that I've experienced from social media early on, you know, but those are pretty much gone for me.
Yeah.
And I just see a lot of, it's just whatever. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I choose to stay away from it now as much as I can. And if you choose to engage in it, then, you know,
I'm
more power to you. Whatever.
Really glad I grew up when I did.
Me too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, that stuff didn't really come around until I was already, you know, I think MySpace happened and I was already 30 years old.
Yeah, or I was in my 30s when MySpace came out. I was in my 30s when Friendster was there.
Yeah.
Friendster and MySpace.
So it's like, you know, you're already done, but I can't imagine being an adolescent right now growing up with that.
Yeah, I mean, even just the phones, right? Like growing up with that piece of technology.
Yeah. I'm just glad I grew up when I did, man. Yeah.
It's easy to be the disgruntled old guy.
Yeah,
whatever. Totally.
It really is.
Yeah.
Right, dang it.
So I try not to be, and I kind of try and separate myself and not bitch, because if you bitch too much, then you're part of the problem.
Yeah, because you don't have to consume yourself in it.
Exactly.
It's not.
I will say that in during the pandemic, Spotify and YouTube were like amazing, like, just really, you can find anything
sure.
yeah.
that you can think of.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, just right down to like I wonder if there's a Spandau Ballet documentary.
There's
a 2-hour Spandau Ballet. Yeah. It's amazing.
Right.
And yeah, like just all that shit. I'm fucking watching things about like Manowar, bands I've never even heard, but I knew a guy that wore that shirt when we were in high school or whatever.
Totally.
Like, man.
Yeah, I really like, and learned about like science shit and like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting into Roman history, like Roman Empire stuff.
Yeah.
And same thing, man. You can find great documentary stuff that's available. Click of a button.
Alex, you just did a show at Central Machine Works
with Brownout.
With Brownout.
I had never been there. I loved it.
Yeah, place is awesome, huh?
I love that place. In fact, I just messaged them to try and get the avocados in there, actually.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. I love that place.
Yeah, I haven't been there. They had it's a real nice mix of like old school Austin and new Austin. The patio. They treated the artists like remarkably well. Amazing.
I wondered that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They took such amazing care of us. Like, yeah, kudos and bravo to them. Fantastic.
Are they able to charge admission? I guess so, right?
It was a free show.
It was a free show, yeah. That's why I've never been there when it wasn't. So
I don't know. Yeah, I had never really been there. And, you know, I'm definitely going to frequent it.
Yeah. Now, this pandemic, to me, one thing is I know that a lot of venues closed and that's awful and all that stuff, but there's been like this new kind of venue, like the Central Machine Works, like Far Out Lounge, that have really like excelled. Meanwhile is another place that I played recently that was really nice.
Where is it?
It's like where the warehouses are on the other side of like east of 35 and west of east of 35 and south of Ben White. There's all those warehouses back there.
Right.
The place back there, yeah.
Kind of area.
And Jamie Wellworth like set up the sound system and runs sound out there. It's
badass.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
Yeah, I mean, the outdoor thing has become, or it became the only way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Far Out Lounge during the, in the heat of it, in November of last year. And it was a great show.
Yeah.
Like, and they have a great, feel safe going
there.
They
really do a great job over there, and they're really nice people. Kudos to them,
because
they've done a fantastic job as well.
I just wish it wasn't so far south from where I live, but...
It's funny, I'm like...
I know.
A mile away from there.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I'm at East Guy too, but Saturday afternoon, it's not like... I mean, getting around Austin's never that fun, but Saturday afternoon's not the worst time to drive around.
Yeah. Did either of you guys play El Cosmico this year?
No. I've actually never played it, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I did.
Golden Dawn's played it a billion times, and I've just never been able to go out there with them.
Seemed like they'd be the house band for that thing.
Well, you know, I did like seven.
Not in a bad way.
I'm just seven, kind of 8 years in a row out there. Because, you know, I used to work for Bunkhouse as well.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So did a few working, then did a few playing. But we used to play like this 2 a.m. show.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It was fitting. Yeah.
It's very fitting.
How, like, I stayed there in May and it was awesome, but I couldn't figure out how they do how does that festival work? Not everybody stays there.
Probably not, but you can camp, so you can pop tents out
there. Right,
right. And then they definitely pop tents, but they pop their own tents out there,
right.
Like, they put out a lot more tents you can get. Yeah, and I mean, Marfa gets packed, I don't know.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
So I mostly stayed in a tent when I was out there.
You did?
Except for, they have this old, it's called the Governor's House. It's kind of on the property there, and it's this weird, like, creepy haunted house that we actually played inside of the first like after hour show we did at like 2 a.m. It was bonkers, and we kind of slept in that house. So that was an experience.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
I stayed in a teepee. I did the thing.
Yeah. You got those yurts and teepees. It's cool
yeah.
spot. Yeah, I definitely like, you know, because a lot of my times out in Marfa were when like festivals were going on, whether it was like the film fest they do out there,
right.
or the El Cosmico Trans-Pecos.
Trans-Pecos, yeah.
And so, I'd be kind of like to get out there when it's just a weekend, you know, because most of the time it's a pretty chill ghost town kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's what it was like when we were there. Yeah. The one thing was, is it was just so like the sun is like it's ruthless, like from like 11 to seven. It's just it's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
All right. So what else do you guys have on the what's up after this this record comes out? You guys do these release shows, then what happens with the Avocados?
We're gonna get more shows, you know, and hopefully the record will start doing, you know, getting a little more rotations through, you know, through whatever, whether local radio, and kind of see where it takes us.
We don't really play that much. A lot of it has been selective, like but that's why once we recorded the album, it's like, this is such fun music. Let's just, I don't know, we're not trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Know? But we do want to play some more shows. And
like to grow more kind of play, awareness of the group.
You do know, some more regional stuff. Because there is a market for this stuff. And people
Oh, yeah.
It, and we love playing it. So when you have so much joy of something that you're playing, you just want to share that.
Right.
So.
And, you know, the cool thing about it is that it seems like something that would work if you wanted to do a weekly thing. Because it's not the same words being said to you. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a general, like, the sense of it is like an overall vibe that you get.
We have two residencies. There's in the summer, there's they used to be Tiki Tuesdays, but now they are Tropical Tuesdays at Hotel San Jose.
Okay.
And then we have the last Sunday of every month over at Lou's. We do that.
I saw that,
Great little spot. Yeah, it's like a brunch kind of thing.
So, you know, we're going to try and get a couple of other those little residencies and do some more club shows, maybe go regionally. And
Spain.
You know,
Spain,
that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
you know, if we can crank out records that quick, let's try another one soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really does. It sounds great. And it is great. I really enjoy it.
Thank you, John. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You. Awesome.
Are you still doing the, God, why am I drawing a blank on the name? The saxophone guy band?
That's Topaz.
Oh, the, no, or not Topaz. Super Sex. The Morphine
tribute band.
Oh yeah,
We did. I think we did three shows.
Yeah.
And the world kind of did the thing that it did. And I haven't pursued it again.
That was you were just starting that when we were doing because we did like a quick little run of Song Division things there before the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess because I was here with Beto because we did a Brownout podcast because Brownout's record came out March 2020.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But, so, yeah, no, we did a few of those shows, and they were really fun. That Cosmic one was awesome. And whenever Cosmic opens up their thing for music again, I want us to do one there. And that's really all that I can think about for that. I don't want to overdo it.
Yeah. I was going to do a thing there for, like, my 10-year anniversary of the podcast. And we had it set up, and then they had some remodel stuff come up that week. But I want them. I really love playing there so much, man.
Everything about that place is just fantastic.
Yeah, that's also another place. That's a place that I went to during the pandemic.
Yeah,
is it one of the only places you could go?
Yeah, I still go there all the time. I love it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. Well, dudes, you made a great album, Ensalada.
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 Appreciate it.
And Far Out Lounge Saturday, November 13th at 3 p.m. Your release show. And also, the record comes out on Friday, November 12th. And you can find you guys at theavocadosmusic.com. The record comes out on Found Object Records.
We're doing Black Market on Sunday?
Right. Black Vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Black Vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to put this out before then. Because is it okay if it comes out next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely... That Black Vinyl thing, it's such a good vibe. Like, I saw Go Fever there a few weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And it was really, really awesome.
Nice. Yeah, and Serum is opening the show. They start at 1. We're trying to make it like a real daytime, all-inclusive, because it's an all-ages spot, the Far Out Lounge. It's always such a great vibe. Let's make it a daytime thing. Serum, who used to be Continental Drift, are playing at 1.
Oh, yeah.
And then we play at 3. We're going to be, everything's going to be done by 5.
So it's like kind of big afro.
You could be home asleep by 6:30.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you having us.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. And it's great to see you guys. Yeah, great to fucking see you again, Alex. Absolutely. And also, what time do you play tonight at the...
Sly Curtis, the last Tuesday of every month, starting up again today, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Last Tuesday of the month.
Yeah, baby.
Doing it again, dude.
Doing it again. 13-piece madness.
All right, find the Avocados at theavocadosmusic.com. And Salah, is there a single out right now?
Yes.
Yeah, Tequila Derby.
That's right, and there's a great video for it.
There is.
Yeah. With all the great footage, yeah.
Yeah, the label, Robbie from the label did that. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It feels like the music.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, great job, dude. It's great seeing you.
Thank you, Charles, for having me.
That's Greg Rhodes and Alex Marrero from the Avocados. Their album Ensalada drops November 12th. You can see them this Sunday, November 7th at 2 p.m. at Black Vinyl. That's November 7th at 2 p.m. at Black Vinyl on East 6th Street. Look it up. Go to theavocadosmusic.com for more Avocados information. Also, go to their album release party Saturday, November 13th at Far Out Lounge, 3 p.m. theavocadosmusic.com. Get their album Ensalada on Found Object Records. Great talking to those guys. Great talking to them. And hey, gang, don't forget, go and follow our Instagram account, our new Instagram account. How did I get here? _official. Do it. See the picture of me and Alex and Greg living it up. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you listen to podcasts. We're there. Leave us comments. Give us a rating. Let us know how we're doing. Interact with us. That's what we need. That's what we need to go into 2022 and do this all the way, man. Let's take How Did I Get Here to the moon, babies. All right. Have a great week. Whatever it is you're doing, let's get down.